would also then talk to the other project that we're talking about, is the estimate, the 300 million rand project that's looking at supporting Ndwendwe and Gungundlovu. The other project that we're talking about is the Richmond pipeline for 40% of the population of KZN and account for 42% of the households. Although they have got very good coverage, they are experiencing rapid economic growth. In fact, in terms of the provincial growth and development strategy, the province has set itself a growth target of about 6 to 7%, and most of that economic engine is taking place in that corridor. So our investment plan there is not focusing at access, it's focusing at actually anchoring and strengthening economic growth in that particular economic corridor of our supply area. Now, support to local government. This is one of the projects that we feel very proud to present as Umngeni Water. This is Mbizana Local Municipality in OR Tambo. It sits at the border of our supply area. We're just separated by the Mtambule River. The problem that has been sitting there is that that municipality has got 96% of its households still getting their water from rivers and streams, according to the test. South Africa latest 207 community survey. And the challenge that we've been asked is, how do we put a comprehensive response plan to that? We'll be able to do that by being able to actually identify a very good water resource on the Ludege River next to Nkandolo. We'll be upgrading the water treatment works to 18 megaliters a day. It will supply the whole of Mizana, right up to the Wild Coast and also Flagstaff. And if you are looking there, this is actually sort of the bulk layout of the infrastructure. We are hoping that in 3 to 4 years, once that plan is implemented, Mizana will get sustainable supply of water. And we are doing this as the implementing agent of Port Naturally for OR Tambo District Municipality. We've also got other interventions that we are doing with Songwe District Municipality. In terms, again, the Imbizo. The Minister Mbizo was actually at Ingwe, Songe, and the areas there that were a major, major challenge were the Ingwe municipality. And again, working with the Songe district municipality, you can see those blue lines. That's where the master plan is starting to look at in terms of putting the infrastructure. But critical to this, Chair and Honourable Members, is the way that we would want the department to actually start to target the bulk infrastructure plan. We do feel that the bulk infrastructure plan should actually target areas of this nature, so that there's actually co-funding from the water board and the bulk infrastructure plan. In fact, we have been so bold in our business plan to say that we would want that for every 3 rand that we use from our funds, we would like the department and challenge the department to put 2 rand. Now, the other project, as I was indicating, is the one that is, I think we've spoken about that one, I think we can move on. This is, again, the other support that we're doing to local government in terms of household sanitation. Because of the limited capacity of implementation, we have been roped in to actually support the household sanitation as the implementing agent. And if you look, most of those projects in those local municipalities, in the past financial year, we've been able to actually deliver more than 3,000 household sanitation units. In other words, to service more than 3,000 households as the implementing agent in support of the water district municipalities and the local municipalities that do it. Again, we have been roped, and we have been now, for the past 3 years, we have been a partner with the Department of Provincial Department of Education in terms of the school sanitation project. In our supply area, I think they are more or less supportive. They have now achieved about 95% coverage in terms of school sanitation. And the work that we have done for the past financial year is that we've done about 39 schools in phase 3 of that project. And the other project which is important that the department has asked to partner with us is the conversion of the historical schools like the Adams College, which have got resources, into boarding schools that can then pull in all the learners from the outlying areas into those facilities. Because those schools were actually sort of the pride of the nation. We have been brought in there to actually rehabilitate all the wet services, that's the planting work that's needed there, and all the sanitation, and that work we've done about 24 schools in the past financial year. And all of them, we did them in record time for the opening of this new financial year. This is, again, our very, very most important slide. This is the question that we're putting in honorable members on water resources. If you look at that particular slide, you're going to see three colors. A blue color, which shows historical demand. A green color that shows projected demand. And a red line that indicates the type of water resource infrastructure that's needed. Now, if you look where we are in terms of 2007, 2009, already our water demands are starting to stress the water resources. In other words, the capacity of our dams in order to support the growth is starting to be a problem. We know that the department is busy with, has given a directive for TCTA to build the Spring Grove Dam, but even if the Spring Grove Dam is completed, it will not be able to actually meet that green line demand. And all we are asking is that we are asking again for the department and pleading the department to fast track the bulk water scheme in order to be able to actually support the area in a much more way. And if that's not done again, that's where I was talking about the ESCOM crisis situation. So this is the plea that we're just making going forward. Briefly going through this, we have just decided to have two types of colors there, a green color and a red color. This is actually what we call our balanced scorecard. In other words, we've got a 5-year business plan or a corporate business plan that we submit to the department. And every year we put up, we agree on targets to be met. Now, the blue smiling faces are indicating areas where we've met and exceeded our targets as agreed between the executive authorities and ourselves. The blue areas are areas that are indicating where there is some improvement that are actually needed. Like, for instance, the signed agreement. We've got almost four of the municipalities. We've got a 20-year bulk supply agreement. That is with Ethekwini, Ugu, Ilembe, Umgungundlovu. Msunduzi, we still have got the old agreements, which are in agreements in perpetuity. And as you know, that the Municipal Finance Management Act requires that we have defined period agreements. So we are in that process again of conversion. It is not that we are operating without agreement. We are saying that they have not been converted to actually comply with the Municipal Finance Management Act requirements. And that process is actually underway. The other area that we are starting to say is that we are also lagging slightly behind our target in terms of the implementation of our CAPEX program, but we have also put up again a remedial position to actually address that. The household sanitation program, as I've indicated, all the targets that we set ourselves in partnership with the municipalities, those targets were fully met. In respect of the financial pillar, all the targets that we have agreed were set up with SWAP on net debt service, and all those were actually met, so we are fully compliant in terms of the targets. Naturally, this is a progressive realization over 5 years that we will be meeting the total asset testing over a period of time. But the targets that we had set ourselves and were agreed with the department, all those targets were met. In terms, again, I think, again, in terms of quality and environmental management, we have, again, met all the targets that were set ourselves. together with the executive authority. Matters then of strategic significance, our interaction of our chairperson with the minister and our chairperson do meet, our minister, our chairperson meets regularly as part of the water board in addressing key issues, and there is regular communication. On matters of operational competence, meaning to say issues that relate to enterprise risk management, we've got all the risk management plan in place, they're audited, and all those are being complied with. In terms, again, of compliance, board meetings are held regularly, payments to board members are in terms of the stipends approved by the minister, and payment is on the basis of attendance, not on a retainer basis. The issues that relate to functional excellence, staff development is being attended together with all the associated plans. Supply chain management frameworks are actually in place to ensure that we are able to follow through the details of the legislation. In terms of business systems, we've got all the ISO systems actually in place. In terms again of innovation and so on, we are always continuously asking and sharing information with all the partners and are encouraging a lot of research work to be done. In fact, we are doing most of the work for the Water Research Commission as part of incentivizing our employees to actually focus on research and on knowledge enhancement. And I think with that, I would like to say we are very proud as Mgeni Water to have walked the way. We do feel that our efforts align totally with the national government development agenda, and we naturally have got scope for improvement, and we would like to hear from the committee what are those areas that we need to focus on for improvement. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Taking up the last challenge that you have said, just tell us what you are doing with your
I will naturally respond, Chair. I've said that the surplus we were leaving beyond our means as Mgeni Water. So that surplus is actually redeeming debt. Secondly, we are also saying that surplus is redeeming debt. The second point we are saying is that because we are redeeming debt, we are not spending too much money financing on finance costs, which allows us then to pass on a lower tariff. And the good partnership that we have and the relations that we have, more especially with Ethekwini, are enabling that benefit to filter directly to the consumers, because the tariffs that Ethekwini are proposing for the next financial year for the lower end of their consumers consuming less than 30 kiloliters, all households consuming less than 30 kiloliters per day, will receive the absolute minimum interest. I believe they were saying that there will be no interest to that because of what Mgeni has been able to pass on to them.
I think it's highly debatable. The consistent response from all of you on this issue is so wonderful. From all of you, it seems like it's come completely prepared on answering.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not apologizing that I listened this week. I had a decision in part of this one. So it could have been dealt with. I believe one question is from Gain. I always end up having to ask you a question. Before I ask the question, I also believe that the one has to give credit where credit is due. I've been asking Gain very serious questions and everyone for a number of years, because I've been working with them for, I'm talking about the year through the dark days, you know what I'm talking about. And what I wanted to say today is that when I looked at their report, right, I saw that they really asked all the questions, and I'm not talking about these words, but that is what they're doing, all of the questions we've asked them over the years, when they were, there was a time at the beginning for that they would be disadvantaged. So that's how long I've been working with them, Gaini, but I think they start doing well now. But there is just a question for clarity. I couldn't believe it when I saw it here, person. When you look at President's Day, that's normally the ratio measuring how long and every thing in the organization is paid credited. I'm sure maybe I made a mistake. I wanted to check with him with this daily 475 days. And if it is, could they maybe, if I'm saying I could have missed it, could they maybe explain that?
Maybe if I can respond to those two questions. So if I could just respond just to those two questions, the protocol for vaccine. I think it's quite true what the honourable member is raising. Like last year, the issue that we raised was the question again of the application of the transfer of the vaccine from Joab to municipality, which was never applied in respect of the vaccines that were funded by the and then transferred to the municipality. Although the transfer did take place, its liability remained with anyone. And that's one of the things, again, that's part of our research there. We have engaged the department on this matter, and but we have, that matter still remains under control. At one stage, the department has committed that it would make sure that it goes back to National Treasury to actually motivate for the inclusion of teams that were built by Mgeni to be treated in terms of the same policies that apply to schemes that were built by the municipality department and were then subsequently transferred to the municipality. That matter still remains outstanding and is part of our in terms again of just the creditors being, the committee will remember that last year we presented the difficulties and the disputes that we're having with the municipality. Now, if you were to take me through the municipality out of that equation, we're starting to fall with I'm talking about yesterday, you're talking about the president today. I will ask my general manager if I have to report. I wanted to go to the one where I know that I wanted to give credit to the department for actually resolving the dispute that we had with Mr. Luzi around our yesterday that was starting to be totally way out because we had a dispute about one of our facilities. That has been resolved. Amic has signed a settlement agreement with Mr. Luzi, and our relations are moving very smoothly from there. And I would like to really appreciate the work that our government is doing to resolve that
issue. I must be honest, I don't have the full details here of what makes up the creditors, but there was an accrual there of 75 million, and some of it was with the draft account. The account hadn't been reconciled in full, so a lot of that amount that is outstanding is with the draft raw water account. However, I can assure you that our normal trade creditors are paid 30 days, so we are not extending our creditors. So from that point of view, I can assure you we do pay on time.
Can you leave to know that draft all the old money?
Thank you, Chair. There has been mention earlier on of the security between the organ and the state, more specifically in terms of the cost recovery from municipalities. Has any water board present here that this will be a problem? Utilize the Section 44 of the Municipal Finance Management Act that governs disputes between the organ and the state. Thank you.
Reach out to those that need assistance. Is it going to take over?
and to get them to where we are. So they made that suggestion, it was overwork. They're doing well, they don't have any problems, they have all the skills, they have all the expertise. They can really well be one of those who can really well sit back and say, okay, you guys struggle, we find. They say, no, we shouldn't do that. Because if there is an game that are now doing very well, and a Bloom, and a Mahali, and nobody reaches out to Bushbach to say, come on guys, sit with us, how can we assist? Then those that are doing well are failing the citizens in their areas that Bushbach was served. Those Bushbach, they are the other way around. They say those of us that are doing well, we don't reach out and assist. We get those that are struggling with to where we are, and it's actually those that are doing well that's failing. So Chairperson, I thought that maybe I'm going to give it to the rest of the board. That's what they said yesterday. You know, they haven't seen a qualified audit statement, almost ever. I've never seen one from them. So they want to go to the kitchen back and say, fine, struggle you guys, we okay. They're not doing that, however. They're making their suggestions. And I want to say first, if you want to go to the not today, maybe, but think about it. Maybe they will have something initially to say about it today. But I thought, let me put it to those that have presented, but also to those that must not present. Thank you.
Oversight in the case of
know the situation between yourself and all time low. It really actually, I think that most of the extent where you can now have no evidence. Even if you play this between yourself or a small error, that you think it's an important conversation in making sure that there's many services that are making the people and not the other particular process that you will continue. So I think it's quite important. I think this is just my colleagues. There are some areas that we are familiar with. We're talking about the finals now in our about the Northwest area. But I think even there, I'm afraid that there are some of them that didn't realize the sanitation problems in the same area. And we will have to battle it out in our community. So I think even there, we must say that we do get often very near time. I must confess, I know from the members on the committee that they do display an attitude of when the world is in my problem.
Pedro, ¿qué?
Gracias.
Thank you, Chair.
What we were requested to do is to talk on tariff consultation, and the most important one that happened from the water border, which is for the issue of debt. And we'll have to see how we deal with that. May I introduce the team that I'm with? I've got my water service officer, Ina, and Singilo Tolo. He's a... Come again? Oh, okay. That's Ina and Tinky. Tinky is he deals with finances in South, municipal finances. So any questions regarding debt, he might be able to give us some good answers. But nevertheless, Chair, you know, this is how the structure of the presentation. We look at the tariff consultation process, the suggested way forward, and we look at the debt and the suggested way forward. Chair, we are pleased to say, you know, 10 of the 15 water boards managed to consult with us as per the requirement of the Municipal Finance Management Act. And I think we need to give credit where it's due to those boards that they've actually done well. And in terms of the you know, the increases, I'm sure you must have heard honourable chair and members that the increases range between 2 and 8%, with 2% being the lowest. And I think NZ did allude to that in terms of that having been passed to Eteguini, and Eteguini passing that to you and I. And obviously, one of the key worrying factors is to say, you know, where some of the targets are beyond the target market, especially the target market of between 3 and 6%. However, we need to take the economy into consideration, that at the present moment the inflation is about, I think about over 10, and how do we deal with the balance of between 6 and 10%. But, you know, this is kind of ongoing, that we really need to start towards that particular target that our national government has set for itself. And obviously we don't want to jeopardize the financial viability and sustainability of our of importance to us, Chair and Honourable Members, is the issue of benchmark and competitiveness when it comes to setting of tariffs. And I mean, clearly what Ngeni has indicated is to say, you know, they managed to build in good efficiencies, which they felt strongly that they would need to really compensate you know, the consumer through the payment of lower tariffs. And I'm of the opinion that there is this you know, principle that says we need to obviously you know, recover the cost of doing our business. We obviously need to look at reasonable return on investment. And obviously, if there are lawyers in here, they'll probably say what is reasonable. But we can debate it. And of importance, Chair, is when one did an analysis, we are of the opinion that we need to promote a zero-based budget approach. Because at our municipalities, majority of them, they you know, they base their tariff on kind of annual increment, not really on a zero-based approach. We would like to recap changes of what we had promised last year. We thought it important that we kind of recap in terms of what we had promised to do and give you feedback. We had promised last year, Chair, that by June 2007, we would have finalized the regulations of tariffs. However, you know, there were some difficulties in terms of finalizing the regulation strategy, which we promised will be, you know, finalized between June and August of the year. And hopefully, you know, next year, this time when we come, we'll probably give you some good news. Okay, maybe up. Let me not comment on another conversation. And then, secondly, Chair, we talked about ring fencing, and it's also contained in Section 20 of the Water Services Act, where, you know, we need to account as providers separately in terms of how we actually conduct the business, so that we can understand in terms of what are the costs of running that specific business. And clearly, Chair, you know, our tariff methodologies in the country have got questions in terms of how we regulate our water. The tariff methodologies, the tariff models that we use. I mean, you know, some water boards might say, look, we're going to turn that angle, but, you know, if one goes further down to maybe most Kotani, I'm not convinced that they're able to tell us precisely how they tighten their water. And that touched on the first bullet, and we really need to, you know, rationalize our task model and structure. And I'm not too sure, either from my side and Mr. Mbeki, how water first determines the task. I'm not too sure. And these are some of the things that we really need to rationalize as a collective, to say, how do we bring in a component that says we need to price water correctly? I would therefore want to suggest what we call, you know, provincial expert panels. You know, to really look at, you know, in a particular province, whether, you know, the price of water is really, you know, priced correctly, to look at issues of rehabilitation, you know, replacement, and all those kind of things. And these are some of the suggestions that we've made to the department, and to date, we haven't had any response. We're hoping the sector leader will give us leadership when it comes to those particular issues. There's also mentioned earlier on the multi-year tariff. I think that's something that we want to advocate, because, I mean, NERSA has done it together with ESCOM. They have what they call a multi-year determination, you know, over a 3-year period to say this is how we want to, you know, structure our pricing model in terms of water. So, Chair, that's in essence in terms of the tariff consultation, and now the most important one. Honorable Aaron was saying to me he's waiting for that resolution. Let's see where the resolution will come out of the presentation, Madam Chair. In terms of debt, I think there needs to be an acknowledgement, and I'm sure you and I would know that at the end of the day, you know, somebody has to pay for that water. And I'm not sure whether that's fortunate or unfortunate, that's you and I. So if you and I do not pay, that means, you know, our water sector might not be sustainable. So if one looks at those three tier of provision of water, generally speaking, I mean, jobs would not have any difficulty in terms of recouping their money. You know, so the second tier and the third tier, that's where the majority of the challenge is. But critically so, we think the third tier is the most important one and the most challenging one. But let me give it to Cindy to take us through the rest of the presentation. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to proceed from here, and William will talk through some of the slides as I proceed. Chapter 7, in terms of debt collection, the debt also poses significant challenges for all municipalities, particularly around the issue of viability. Okay, the current outstanding debt is approximately 40 billion. If you recall, we quoted this particular figure last year. This is the figure that we got from National Treasury, and we as part of we are very cautious in terms of quoting the figure because we currently don't have data on debt owed to municipalities. However, ourselves and DPLG, we are currently doing some work in terms of collecting data on debt owed to municipalities. But however, in terms of the state of business report that was published late last year, I think it was around November, cities are owed 25.6 billion and have provided approximately 16.4 billion for non-payment. There are some factors contributing to this high level of debt, and of which some of those are continuous charge of interest on outstanding debt, which increases the amount of outstanding, which increases the amount of outstanding on the monthly account. There are other issues around when municipalities are unable to keep updated indigent register, or they don't have proper indigent register, where you'll find a situation that a consumer or an indigent is continuously being billed regardless of that particular indigent ability to pay. And then those particular debts reflect on the books of municipalities. We also have other external sectors like, for example, there are some municipalities, particularly small rural, where you find that 60% of the population in that particular municipality is unemployed and indigent, therefore municipalities cannot really collect in those circumstances. Chairperson, however, is not that fair. Some municipalities have already started making provision for bad debt. They have already started implementing successful initiatives in terms of improving completeness and reliability of consumer billing system or databases. They have also started strengthening performance management system by linking the performance of senior managers with the revenue collection, and also have started implementing serious control credit control measures like cutting electricity as a form of credit control measure so that people are able to pay. Chairperson, Saraga through PCC have assisted municipalities to collect debt owed to them, particularly by government departments, and the example of this particular project in Gauteng, where MEC of provincial local government in partnership with SARGA have assisted municipalities to collect outstanding amounts owed to them by government departments for the service rendered. The project included cleaning of data, classification of property, verification of ownership, and correct amounts were billed to for the service rendered. Chairperson, we have seen from our experience that most of the municipalities, the problem is mainly that the billing system is not properly updated, the data are not classified properly. So these are some of the issues that we are looking at. And we are indicating that the project will be replicated to other provinces. For example, Mpumalanga and Northwest have already started replicating this particular project to assist municipalities. And our view is that when municipalities are able to collect, they will be able to make sure that they pay their debtors, their creditors in time. And in this instance, we are referring to the water board.
And Chair, with that background, if one looks at the geographical split of our water utilities, it's quite clear that majority of them are actually in the rural areas. I mean, that's something that we really need to acknowledge. Because when we come here, we want to present a bigger picture. We don't want to be confined only to debt that's been owed to the water board. I mean, there are other external sectors that are, sometimes beyond you and I. However, we've categorized that in terms of good revenue and poor revenue. If one looks at an example in KZN, I mean, Ngeni clearly stated that most of the revenue comes from Ethekwini and Umfundozi, and which really are kind of the economic hub of that particular province. So the point I'm trying to emphasize here is, if we really concentrate our efforts in terms of collecting money in the urban center, and then look at the form of subsidization for the rural poor community. I think we would have made progress, but we'll give you some suggestions in terms of how we want to move forward. I'm not an accountant, but I'm really informed or advised that, you know, any debt that is over 90 is highly irrecoverable. And I'm not sure whether the very same principle will apply here. The thing is that you need to give us the clever way. That's fine. But I'm just saying that, as I said, that the principle is anything beyond. The principle is anything beyond 90 days. It's not recoverable. I mean, that's an accounting. And I might be wrong, but I'm just saying that we're working on the premise that if a situation is left for a longer than 90 days, your chances of you recovering that money is. Catherine, you're an advisor, you're an accountant. But let me continue, honorable members. We can debate in 90 days, we could make it 120 if you want to. But better than that, if one looks at the institutional arrangements of our country, sometimes it does make it difficult for us to collect debt. And as I said, that if one looks at the geographical location of the water board, the fortunate ones that are located where the metros and secondary cities, they're able to really collect. But if you look at Bushveld Ridge, Rasol, the chance of you collecting that money in essence is, I don't want to say zero, but it's literally a challenge. In terms of suggested way forward, Chairperson, we might be telling you things that you do not want to hear, but I mean, these are some of the things that we are dealing with. We did say last year that we would take a position that says we would want to engage with the relevant stakeholders by June last year. We're happy to pronounce that there is a process that is underway. And the signing of the bulk agreement, we've really published the bulk agreement, which we'll be pushing for you know, the water board and the municipalities to sign. And we are also looking at putting measures in terms of debt collection. And this will be part of the regulation strategy. Chairperson and honorable members and colleagues, to be really honest, I'm of the opinion that as long as we still have the current institutional arrangement, I'm of the opinion that in certain parts of the country we are unable to collect money. And that's the reality on the ground. And we heavily rely on the leadership of the minister through this institutional realignment as part of contributing towards making sure that we firm up in certain areas integration of bulk and retail so that, you know, we have real utilities. So at this present moment, if you go to Bushveld Ridge Municipality, for example, I'm sure you're not sure whether they have provided an authority or not. And that really was a challenge. And as I said, Chairperson, I think we need to focus more on the urban side so that it cross subsidizes the poor. If Ngeni Water can make a good surplus, I don't see why can't they cross subsidize the Bonke municipality. And we really want to do it on a business case model, where, you know, a water board will join forces with a municipality to come up with a business case model that will be presented either to treasury or whatever organ of state to say, given the circumstances surrounding this area, it's better highly unlikely that it would actually be viable and sustainable. And lastly, Chair, we need to look at tariff rationalization. The CDC of offering horses and patient with me. Let me end up there. Then.
No, thank you very much. I'm not quite sure if you're really dealing with the issue in the So I don't want to make fun about the fact that you talk about the availability of consulates and your data and the resolution as well. I thought that our message was, we appreciate that, you know, this municipality structure and all sorts of things. We simply wanted to focus on the debt pool and the water bill. And so we don't understand the generalization now of the response that you have given. Because even in terms of getting the amount of debt, just take all of the annual reports here, and then you can extract out of that the debt that you should put in our water. So I'm not quite sure from the side of the water board what is the relationship there.
Thank you. Honorable members, good afternoon. Colonel Chambo, good afternoon. I just want to say thank you to our chair lady, Ms. Kuban. My name is Manny Harris. Yes, President, from MLS with Catherine Smith of CFO. I'm going to do a very quick, well, but one of our questions is for our technology issues earlier. With the President of the we'll start with some very basic, very basic snapshot of our financial last year. Our revenue went up about 4.1 billion. Our solar assets rose up from about 5.4 to about 6.3 billion from 2004 to 2007. I just want to emphasize that through our history, we've never had a financial report that's been quite bad. So all our reports have been unfunded by. The total staff complement is below 3,000, which is about 900. And in our process systems, we add 9,000, 2,000 accredited. And all our plans is on a process where we add 14,001 accredited. So this is going to be just a housekeeping issue. We're going to share the presentation with myself and Kevin pretty much. Where is small financial should talk about? Where is the other side I'll talk with you about? That's basically our geographical context. You'll find that in the lower left side of the map, that's our original area of supply. It's increased greatly in the last 5 to 6 years from a drought directive to about double the area. So while we're pretty much in the housing area, we have some areas around the northwest, including Rustenburg, some areas of the northeast and south free state. We've gone quite a bit in the Mpumalanga High Town, in the western half of Mpumalanga, that includes all those areas. We can be Sile, Jokovic, Maroka, Greater Mabogo, Greater Mpumalanga. We've done a lot of work there in a civilian fresh area in terms of supply. We also want to say, just from a statistics standpoint, we supply to about 12 million consumers, and then obviously downstream through citizens and countries that we supply to. Our area of supply is about 80,000 square kilometers, but we also want to say that from the consumer basis, we have the capability, both from a purification, pumping, and distribution vehicle, to supply to about double that number. So we can supply up to about 25 million people. So we can supply it to up to about 50,000 square kilometers. Our current total pipeline land installed is about 2,400 kilometers, stretching obviously from our nucleus in the surrounding area to all the other areas you find on the map. The total number of visitors that we have is accounts for about 54. I'm going to let Tess and Friedman speak quickly about the comments.
Yes, we have the highlights of the performance for the 2007 year. These are percentage increases year on year. Certainly, sales volume increased at the bottom there, 2.7, to improve from that. The profit increase of 25.3 certainly does merit some comments. Moving from sales volume to the bottom to the revenue, we have a 12.12% increase. That's partially, obviously, the sales volume. Also the tariff increase for the year. But another factor that has had a significant impact on the increase in that percentage is the fact that our subsidiary company, Groundwater Services, in the 2006-2007 year did actually generate about 12 million rand worth of revenue against, I think it was about 5 million the year before. It's going to certainly improve that percentage on year on year. If you move then up to the profit, the primary reason for the increase in profitability or the improvement in performance from the revenue line to the profit line, that in the main part comes from the fact that our finance costs have decreased significantly. We've had a significant amount of debt that we've retired, and we're picking that up between operating and net profit. And then the difference between the profit increase and the cash generated from operations reflects, so in the main part, our investment in capital projects.
We're going to talk very quickly through last year's performance highlights in the last financial year. Our customer satisfaction index, Mr. Gutten William is here, 1,000. This specifically measures what 1,050 with us. 1,000 is basically our main customer base. But it does not only include 1,000, it includes my houses, some of the commercial customers, suppliers who like Southport, like Netcom. That takes pretty much the same at about 76%, which is a fairly good rating. Research houses typically keep that at about 67%. It is 67% above the group level. So we 76% with above the threshold of 5 by researchers. Our training spend in terms of skill development in other areas is 70% for total payroll, but also for the payroll of 70%.
Well,
the
question is,
so that's some good money that we put on training. And our employment equity and management level is close to 64% to 75%. But this is just at management level. Overall, the value of our employment equity level is actually 83%. Then our BE spend rose from 60% as a percentage of total spend to 64% through the year. And then we've done a lot of work. We've got two vehicles really for corporate social investment, the Landlord Foundation, as well as in our team called the corporate. And of that, we spent our total allocation of funds has been about 2.5 million rand over the past financial year. But we've got core funding as well, so that if core funding is included, it actually gets about 50 million rand. That, when I say co-funding, we put in some amount of money. And our partners include DWARF, include DPLG, including some private sector commitments, come to the total of 50 million rand. And those are the kind of focus areas that we work on, HIVA, special needs for institutions around training and treatment, people with disabilities, pretty much all the topical areas that's what Africa is struggling with. We try to make a contribution towards that. We also make some contribution towards health, cases of elderly, partnerships as well. And then going forward, in our corporate social investment, we try to place a lot of, bear in mind that the investment is happening in severely distressed areas economically. So we try to create jobs where they were unavailable in the beginning. And the number of jobs created has been very heavily biased towards the females, at 52%. Against 48% for males in the past year, but the total number of jobs created was actually 730% in the past year. Project funds spent on local aid supplies, additional supplies, that's basically your non-employment equity enabled suppliers, 64%, and your employment equity enabled ones, 62%. I won't spend too much time on that. We spoke a little bit about it earlier. Then some performance highlights as well, which we spoke about earlier. And then corporate social investment. This is a regional spread. We've done some work in Winterfell, which is just outside Victoria, Bakersfield, Mandalay, Ellerfontein. But I'm going to run very quickly through that. But this is basically all our corporate social investment. You can see on the far right is our partners, DWARF, Department of Environment, Affairs and Tourism, the Foundation itself, the PLG, all those guys. Then we're gonna go speak very briefly around the topical issue, which is the energy impact. Something that's been there for the past 5 or 6 months. We've been asked by Eskom to cut between 10 and 15%. We've come to the party on that basis. Currently, the party has been very active engaging with Eskom. We've gone to them with some proposals based on the original proposal, and we've got that some good cooperation on their terms together with our terms. We must just indicate that the electricity crisis has the potential to create quality problems, and but we took successfully with ESCOM trying to prevent that. We still find no way to get electricity in conversation with ESCOM, and in consultation with as well with the council. I'm going to talk very much around this, when I say consultation here, I'm going to the tariffing regime that we use. On a year-to-year basis, we go back to revising our pricing structure. Well, our pricing really on based on inflation with care effective. And we go through a regular consultation process with our own customer group, which is Sauga, as well as the mining houses and other industrial customers. We try to use we create some external, some extra surplus through being very efficient in our processes, but we use that to declare tariff increases. So we actually, among few agencies that we use our tariff to reduce, our sector to reduce the tariff increase on the FDA basis. I think this last year we were about 5.4%. 5.6%. It could have been much higher than that. We actually used our to reduce that. This is obviously in cognizance of the fact that our end customer is the average of Africa. So we want to reduce the burden in them. We also use our surplus to support our capital expansion program, capital organization program. And obviously, the top of our list is to make sure that the water sector is sustainable. That's where we put some of our money as well. And then, part of the story that goes into our tariffing process that we, as much as we can, we try to be below the CPI rate, which in the past few years has been 20-30%. But we all know that it's risen to, I think, today about 11%. But the best is that we want to stay within inflation. This year, we're projecting about just over 66% or something like that. But that's compared to today, that's still below inflation. It's coming down to about 11%. We keep exploring, obviously, because we believe of further reductions in tariffs. In consultation, I think Kevin might want to speak about this as well.
I think briefly, if I could explain the methodology by which we arrive at a tariff increase. In the first instance, we work out an internal rate of inflation based on our various input costs, and then we adjust that in respect of the efficiencies that we've realised in the previous year, and again then in terms of any windfall, say that they become adjusted by way of a rebate. Now, what this actually does demonstrate somewhat, I think, for this year, the tariff that we are proposing for 2008-2009 year, the weighted average, at the point of time at which we did the project, the weighted average inflation rate in terms of our income was, I think, 6.9%. We reduced that to 6.2% in terms of efficiencies that we realised in the previous financial year. That's the year that the financial report would be looking at, which wasn't actually quite a very good year, I'm sure you picked up on that. And then we reduced it by a further 0.6% in respect of what was primarily a rebate that we received from what was happening to the customer in terms of a tariff reduction. The one thing that I think is worthy of note here is that 50% of our input costs are raw water, and for the year in question we're experiencing a 7.9% increase in our raw water price. So I hope you can put a great deal of pressure in terms of being able to keep our internal production inflation down within the inflation target. The other thing that I think is very important to note at this point in time, and I'm not sure that it will impact on all water boards, is the fact that the tariff calculations for the year 2008-2009, in actual fact, are calculated, the calculations start back in around about October time. Now, in October time, we have a very, very different inflation scenario and electricity scenario than we're facing now. And we have re-estimated our internal inflation rate now in March. And the increase in our internal inflation is 3%, from October to March, And that 3%, incidentally, is based on our calculation that the electricity increase will be 25%. But that doesn't even include the 50%. And that's a real threat to all the water boards, that increase in electricity. For Round Water, I don't know what it is for the other water boards, but for Round Water, electricity accounts for about 10% of our input costs. So if electricity goes up by 50%, our cost of production, potable water, increases by 5%. And where the tariffs are already set and fixed, that has to be installed until such time as the tariffs can be renegotiated the following year. Then one of the other things that I've explained the methodology by which we calculate the tariff, that we also then run it through some long-term models. One of the things that is peculiar about the water sector, not just the water sector, and in fact some of the other infrastructure sectors as well, is that it's very high infrastructure cost in a very long payback period. So we run through our tariffs through our long-term model, and the biggest impact on that is in fact our capital cost. Now, what we have on this slide is a view of our estimated capital costs for the next 5 years. Now, in actual fact, if you were an accountant, you would realise that this schedule doesn't cross caps, and that's because some of this expenditure goes out beyond 2012. But in actual fact, our next major augmentation starts, the expenditure on that starts coming in at 2013. So you're not even seeing the full impact of capital expenditure over the next horizon. The other thing that, again, is a significant impact and a challenge that we're out of sector is what we have seen since, in actual fact, since these figures were compiled, which was the time that we were doing the tariff, we reviewed them again to do our budget, and there was a very considerable inflation hitting us in terms of capital costs. It's due partly to commodity price increases, most notably steel has gone up hugely and continues to go up hugely. And that obviously impacts our construction costs. And also, the general construction industry is in a hell of a boom. And when the construction industry is in the boom, the costs go up, and then we pay for it. We struggle to find construction companies to do the capital work, and you pay for it through the bills for it. So those figures are actually kind of lowball, and we run them through, and it is actually a significant threat to that water, but also I would imagine to all the water boards that are compensating any significant infrastructure investment. And that really is one of the things that the care customers are paying for. And that really, I think, is the narrative in terms of care customers, why care customers. I know that Land Water is attracting a huge amount of attention because of the level of care customers. But this really, as I say, is the articulation of why those services are required. And they are run through long-term models, and it is difficult because the horizon is long, and the longer the horizon, the less certain those figures are known for certainty. But I think, you know, there's a couple of things there that are also worthy of mention. The bottom one relates, I think, particularly to the situation that we're seeing ourselves in this year, where our tariff increase has been based on assumptions. Inflation assumptions that have changed quite radically, and in effect, our reserves will be used to a certain extent to smooth tariffs over the next couple of years.
But this slide here tries to give a picture to explain to people some of the areas where we commit our services to. Round Water's average infrastructure age is between 15 and 50 years, and we have infrastructure that's up to 70 years old. And most of it is after renewal, after augmentation, after retention. So there's actually an insurance house that advises that we actually underestimate our retention cost. So that's the thing that we need to evaluate. So where we look like we need a lot of better, we should actually degrade that. It's actually much less than we think we have. Because we're going to have to spend a lot of money, like I should say, 5 to 7 years of retention. Because I said it's coming for practice more than 70 years old, around the organization. But we need to remember, when we talk about organization, establishment, we are assuming constant demand. And as we know, South Africa constantly, demand constantly increases. So in terms of only meeting supply and doing that, but we also have to put money towards meeting additional demand. That's not an average in 70 years old. And then, of course, we can increase the percentage of prices selection which you talked about earlier, then we just going to give you a very quick rundown on our process through our infrastructure development review. We obviously get data from municipalities, which are our major customers, the industrial customers like Sasol and Eskom, around their demand for the next 5, 10, sometimes 15 years. That's what allows us to plan that in our capital expenditure program and plan what areas are we going to invest in. For example, the Action 1 Corridor, how then allows there's a lot of industrial waste there, commercial waste development, demanding a lot of water, demanding a lot of sanitation as well. So that's the best on which we plan. We also get data from citizen countries around demographic growth. That's what we use as well to plan for infrastructure growth. So if we get a little pressure in our areas of like housing, some areas of Mpumalanga around urban infrastructure, we also take care of that through our planning process. We also do on an annual basis, sometimes on a 5-10 year basis, continuous assessment of carbon infrastructure. Our infrastructure recommendations include we want to make sure that we've got enough capacity for the next 15 years to meet demand. And we obviously in that process always try to renovate what we have. But from a purification and pumping capacity view, from we try to keep it back of over 20% of our current supply. So the question has been asked often about are we in danger of becoming Eskom? The answer is categorically no. We have 20% back, and we far from that. But yes, we keep improving on that. Our cost determines estimates are based on projects that are already done, raw material costs, and the cost of escalating similar with already completed. And of course, that also depends on the market because prices keep shifting. So we're talking about fuel prices now, building costs. But a lot of our work, although it's a water based company, a lot of our work is actually civil work, which is very closely related to construction markets. We get affected by that as well. Our water quality standards are really, I won't go through the micro detail on the detail of this, but it's definitely found to OC41 standards, which itself is based on the water quality standards. But on average, we've met about 98-99%, plus 1, plus 2%. So we're doing well, better than we meant to do. I won't go through the detail of that. We as we run water trials and I'm sure other water boards as well, we try to make sure that we don't survive in isolation. The work that we do is in conjunction, it is aimed to make central government policy objectives while applying basic services. So some of the things we try to do to work out we put major problems around water sanitation, the affluent intensive area, we're helping in that area. Everybody has spoken about the Belmont area in the second, we're helping in that area as well. I spoke earlier about working hydro involvement. We've been involved there, I think, for the past 5-6 years. But as I said much earlier as well, while we supply to about 18,000 square kilometers, we've got the capability to supply to about 50. So I think one water stands for the 2 million infrastructure development minimum. And then we wouldn't conclude without speaking about some of the challenges that we have. A lot of the challenges that we face are really around catchment area effluent control. A lot of the runoff water we get in the Power River, which is our main area of source water, is very highly polluted. We have every area of Joburg, the East Rand, the power triangle, all those areas are very highly polluted, human settlements, industrial activity, and that places a lot of demands on our purification systems, increasing our purification costs. Obviously that runs through that puts a lot of pressure on our tariffing process, but we try to find that as much as we can. I think the thing that the exhortation we made to the council as well as well is to try to improve our effluent control standards. One of the solutions we've had around that is to propose a regional scheme in the south of Joburg, the ACA regional scheme. And I think we're committing about 6 or 7 million rand towards that. we are still in the planning stage, given the opportunity to land that. I think that's really the end of our plan. I think we should be able to
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to speak about Charles' presentation first. When one listens to the presentation, it's made by Charles, and I mean, you can't help, I can't help becoming rather despondent. Because last year, 10 times, we were sitting like this, and we were looking at the various amounts of debt. How violence by the Eastern Wall School. And the feeling was that it kind of looked, what I came to do with these individually, I mean, after all of them are members of Shelter. Why not approach Shelter and find out from them, hear from them, what their approach should be in attempting to deal with a particular problem. And Chairperson, we sort of talked about it this morning, but it's not it's not a joke. Charter, we are preparing for a conference. At which conference this issue will enjoy the necessary attention that it should receive. We will come back next year, and we will indicate to the committee as to what the decision was of Charter in relation to this problem. Today, Charlie didn't even touch on that. Charlie said, look, but, isn't there a principle that asks that when a debt is over 90 days, it can't be paid anymore? Now, that's what we're seeing as precedent. If we were to agree to that view of things, which means whoever owes whichever municipality owes any water board can say, okay, my debt is now 3 months old, it's 90 days, until I would have to say with this particular principle, agreed by all, that once a debt, say for 3 months old, 90 days, it's no longer seen as recoverable. Okay, so the debt falls away. What does it mean? It takes us to a situation where the municipality will see themselves not having their debt any longer. Mm-hmm. They will begin to accrue new debt, which they will also not pay, and they will wait for the next 90 days. That's what we're talking about. So clearly, it's time. Charter of Persons here suggests that people like Bruce Buckley, that are owed in excess of 16 million, that they should forget about it. They don't get the money. It's not that correct, and I think that's what some of other members are. You can't really get the money. So it leaves us at a point below where we were last year as far as others. Because last year when we left this meeting, say, we were leaving this meeting remembering what Charles said, they were going to, that this thing was going to enjoy the attention that it needs to be given as they come. But frankly, I'm back to where I previously were when I said to Bush Buckridge, in terms of these 330 days, I almost don't have a question to ask because this isn't acceptable. I'm going to say the same about Charles' presentation. You're correct. Matters that are important to you, to municipality. Whereas we agreed with him last year, when we come here this year, we're going to focus on this particular problem. So the question remains, the same question that we asked Charlie last year is, how do you see yourself assisting us in dealing with this problem? That question remains. I doubt, having listened to the presentation after we discussed this with him last year, whether we indeed receive an answer. Right? We're here to meet that person. That after all, 12 months later, we're where we even vulnerably last year, and that is to attempt to deal with each of these problems, each of these mentalities individually. And so how are we going to do that? And that's where Chaga pointing out.
Can I say this?
This is a municipal copy of the Municipal Finance Management Act. You know, I was going to ask Chaga whether they entertain whether or not each of the municipalities really understand Chapter 6 that deals with short-term debt and long-term debt. I just indicated to the chairperson when she took that chair again that maybe I borrowed a little book just from her. Maybe I should give it back to her because it seems not to matter because it seems that it doesn't even care. So I thought maybe it doesn't matter. It matters not if I should ask the question. You know, within the presentation. So, that's where we are. We make no progress with Chaga. So, the question that I have to Chaga is, do we even have a hope in expecting from them any progress upon this matter, or should we simply write Chaga off as far as assistance for this matter? That is my question. I don't even touch the 90 days, because that's just irresponsible. That's as far as I was concerned here, but I have also something to say to the land warden. Again, it's one of our water boards that are doing very well. There seems to be quite a large surplus. But when we presented among themselves the basic question of the surplus, I couldn't help thinking of one of the water boards this morning that presented that are also doing well. I asked a question to that particular water board. I said, look, you're doing well, I'll give you that. But your surplus seems to be meager. I think that's the word I use. They still with us. I'm sure they'll be able to correct me. When they spoke after I put that to them, they said, look, yes, it's meager. One, we live within our means, but and it looks meager because the same projections in terms of refurbishment, old installations, old pipes, you know, maintenance. All of the water board efforts. What they've done, however, with this surplus is to say, wait, let us automatically, immediately take a certain amount of money and put it on our reserve to deal with those questions that assist us to not make those heavy loans, possibly, hopefully, not make those heavy loans in order to deal with these refurbishments. Right? So I want to put it to land water. Don't you think that in terms of the surplus, you being able to make this projection actually rightfully made in terms of what you're going to need going forward for maintenance and refurbishment? Don't you think it would have been a good idea also to once you have created the surplus, to say, look, this is our projection, we don't really need this money, take this money and put it aside for the work, you see? In that way, you would have been, you, I believe you, as the other water board has done, you actually assist yourself. You know, you put yourself in a position where you can also say, look, we don't exactly have to go and borrow a billion, rather maybe we only need 500 million. You know, I'm just making an example. So, although Rand is doing very well, I saw that maybe in terms of what to do with your surplus. Because I can guarantee you, the water board that presented this morning didn't face the same question from the Chaga's track or maybe in that particular problem that you face in terms of your surplus from Chaga in your province. If I remember correctly, Chairperson, our information is that when we have to deal with your tariff increases, that they are mark was made, why don't you use your surplus to subsidize the increase, the thing of increase down, or don't increase? You see, I don't think the water board that they can, correct me if I'm wrong, I could face the same kind of question. You see? Because both create a surplus. I mean, for the size of the water board that presented this morning, they created for their size. It's smaller than that, essentially smaller. For their side, they created quite a substantial surplus. Have they dealt with it in another way?
Because they have seen it, I mean, I'm coming from a normative, they're most poorest.
So what about the money the communities have spent? What about the money the municipalities receive from national government, from treasury, from national treasury and from the department? And obviously, they use this money to pay salaries. Some of these town managers spend more than, more than the treasury. They use that then spend money, carefully. That's corruption. If you read that book there, it's corruption. Honestly. And if the municipalities can't pay that money, honestly, then we must go and change the law. We must change the law that this money goes directly to the hospital. But seriously, the problem is, when the open water is not a municipality, it's the water block. When there's a pipeline we broke it, it's not a municipality, it's the water block. So from where must the money come? So honestly, Sagar, I mean, you are my friend, don't want to fight you. But honestly, we must meet and come to a conclusion around this issue. Because the municipality is playing for the water block. Really. And some of them have this attitude. We will not pay. Who's the rich? They stop. I mean, they're receiving a few million a month from national government. They easily send their estate to who's the rich water board. We will only pay you 1 million a month. They're angry. Sorry. They're untaxed. Because we feel sorry for the community. We can't cut the water because the community is going to sell without water. But what about the big factories who pay in the water? What about the startup, the airport, those who are using a lot of water, who pay the water? I mean, there's millions and millions. But we will not pay. And honestly, today, I think today is coming where you must start acting on some of these problems. Because there's really some of these managers who pay, who earn 1.5, 1.6, 1.2, 1.3, and they're using that money, using what subsidies who are supposed to come to the water bill, who pay this kind of salary, and they do nothing.
We can work on perhaps
extracting from that model the relevant information that would be able to demonstrate that, the impact of that.
The surplus in rainwater, has been actually used in various ways. For instance, all water boats that are here, just before Jambolea, I should mention that they have teamed up with rainwater to actually work on through the Delma problem by sinking that huge pipe, because otherwise, in terms of financing that, so we do that all the time. We just a year ago we finished and we launched the Makhali, the 75 million rand pass. We do that all the time, and we work with municipalities on various things. One of the things that Mr. Maniere mentioned there is the solution for pooling. The project, the total project for the region is 800 million rand. And rainwater is quite willing to be part of that, and Treasury is looking at whether the model to finance it is the correct one. However, there are some serious problems there that we prefer to get in once they have been sorted out. Problems that are purely political, and the issue of who owns the infrastructure, how is the infrastructure going to be owned, and that's not the issue that Rainwater has a power over in terms of deciding. So we leave some of this discussion to work. With other water boards, we also have set up something that most of the South African water boards and water industry did not have. We went overseas and we teamed up with a company that is producing and dealing with technology to actually assess the underground infrastructure, which we could not find. And most of the water boards now are actually using that agent to get to know how the infrastructure is dealing with, is doing, and how it would be. So in terms of support to all other water boards, we are always there, but there are issues that we would rather be on the side and feel the department and the minister has dealt with. The implementing project, which is taking up as a big problem at the moment, is purely what we're talking about. The municipality does not seem to have the required kind of financial muscle, but we want to be, it has to be understood as the William was saying, it has to be a business case, because otherwise then we'll lose all the money randomly as we're going along. So we're trying very hard to work with municipalities. It is very difficult, as you guys know. They are kind of different from us. We just the water boards, and they are more or less a political kind of committee, do not have much power over that. But historically, it must also be understood as we're going along that how we reduce the surpluses, as Catherine has been saying, in a financial language, has an impact on how we do our work at rainwater. Rainwater is self-funding, and we don't get the money anywhere else except going to the bank and presenting the least kind of business environment and saying we can guarantee that if you give us so much money, it's because we have the staff and we have a rating towards that. While we are dealing with a surplus, we must be mindful that this type of a ranking does not really get depleted, because we end up being just like any other company, and we don't have any other source of revenue except once we have collected, then it's invested. And when we want to go and do some kind of measure, when we go to the bank and say, borrow us this amount of money, and that's how it works. So there's a lot of business thinking around it. But having said that, it is happening, and we have the foundation which is looking purely at looking at the communities in our area of supply, making sure that we should not have a pipe that jumps them and does not have water. And we have even an agreement with mines, that mines have been also wasteful in a sense. They have been using potable water for the mine waste. Now they have changed. When they have more clean water, they divert the clean water to the communities around them through our pipes, and we give them what is called grey water. And some of them are already giving out 10% of clean water free of charge to the areas where the pipe is going through. So there's a lot of this that is going on, but still there is a question about our settlers, which would need to really talk about one week when we actually talking about the critical 5-year period that we need to develop our infrastructure. One thing, this is the last thing that I'm saying, is that we need to be careful about rainwater. Rainwater is a 104-7-year-old company now. All our infrastructure is sitting on a time bomb. The money that we have has spent to make sure that we are able to supply water there, and anything else then would be additional. And even the insurance does not want to insure pipes that are over the age limit. So the whole of housing might be that up, but it's a question of how to manage that, and with a good luck that none of these pipes really burst open. We can't do it at the same time.
The issue of tariffs, while we are impressed by their lowering, in general, lowering to 2%, I think it's a policy issue that the committee might want to look at. Whether do you take your entire surplus in a particular financial year and subsidize inflation, or whether if you go below the inflationary target, which is around 6% or below that, you are actually doing good, because the good is that it's 2%. The negative is that in future, if you follow such an approach, is that in the year where you have run a lot, you will then give abnormal increases. So you have to balance whether go up and down or run a steady flow. Look, we might have been possible to go below 5.6, right? But to us, it's below the inflationary target, and we believe it's reasonable, reasonable even better than even gas increase, right? So we thought we were doing right, but I think at some stage we need to debate whether what policy should be followed, whether should, when we have made a lot of surplus, take it to zero, and when we have made a lot, take it as high as possible, right? We might end up being like export, but look, we have not made much research into that. Yeah. Thank you.
But Chair, sorry, very quickly, the example she was giving around the project we're discussing now with Insulina, I'm just going to use that as an example around how we must be careful, how we protect our talent. We take the certain figure, I'm not going to discuss the figure now. Then we did a sensitive analysis on if we reduce that talent by about 30% and we make the council pay over a longer period, what would happen? Yes, there will be an immediate reduction in talent. But over a 20-year period, the council actually pays more money in interest charges because the financing of the scheme comes from banks and things like that. So I think tariff thing should not be it must be a much widely considered issue than just looking at the tariff in question. Yes, look at the interest rates, the inflation index, a few other things, because paying 5 rand per kilo today might mean that your children or your grandchildren 30 years down the road, we end up paying 20 rand per kilometer. While you can today, you're making them pay. So we need to think about that. I think it's very important for my good friend, the Talga. We need to think about those things.
Can I respond to you? No, I'm going to respond to it. I respond to the members only. Chair, look, we it's on. Okay. Chair, I think it's appreciated that you know the members are raising this great concern about our approach to this debt. I would like to apologize if I create an impression that says if municipalities don't pay over 90 days, then they can just forget about the debt. That was not what I was trying to convey. The message that I was trying to convey is, you know, under normal circumstances, and I don't remember an example that this was Edgar, which I feel like we're dealing with a public commodity. However, experience has shown that you know, if we don't apply certain sections of, I mean, I could pose a simple question to say to the water board, to what extent have they really looked in terms of, you know, some of the sections of the MFMA to say raise the debt issue with Treasury. But I don't want to go there, Treasury. The point I'm trying to make is we've taken note in terms of, you know, the great concerns that you guys have raised, and I would hate to leave this platform today with the impression of that 90 days issue. And then secondly, I would hate to leave this particular session with the understanding that the municipalities are arrogant, because we're talking another sphere of government, and really water boards are obviously organs of state. And I don't want to sound like a politician, but I think, you know, moving forward, I take the suggestion of the honourable member to say, you know, let's meet with Saga. I mean, it could be, you know, from the chair of the portfolio committee, the chair of Saga, to say really there are concerns about this whole debt issue. But my personal opinion, and this is my personal opinion, it's the fact that I think we will be doing a mistake if we only concentrate on one part of the debt. I'm the opinion that we need to look at the entire picture, because we're dealing with another phase of government which is highly dependent on grants, and the grants come from the fiscal, and the fiscal comes from you and I, right? So I'm saying the point I'm trying to make is, let's look at the holistic picture. And I really like, you know, I'm not sure whether people have seen this billboard of Bonita. You know, it clearly says, we look at you holistically. Right? And I'm saying, if we really are serious in the sector in terms of from an investment point of view, from a pricing point of view, I think we need to look at the entire picture rather than focus on. So rather than, you know, I'm becoming emotional because, you know, this is very close to my heart in terms of making sure that, you know, the sector is really moving forward in terms of service delivery. Can I leave it at that, Chair?
Report of the report, the annual report.
of starting to comply with some of the provisions of the Public Finance Management Act, and in particular with regard to the aspect of the accounting officer for reporting and responsibility. That means they compile the report to present to the minister, then to Parliament, and then to court before us. So there are maybe one or two issues for the writing officer. With regard to the responsibility of assets that is dealt with both yesterday and today, assets and liability. I think in this instance, because of Section 42 of the Public Finance Management Act can ask whether they are sufficiently complying with that provision of the Act. Because what we're simply doing, last year we talked about the 500 million guidance, we do think that we should have a time or solar within that section of the Act that works, because they are responsible for the recipient. The Act says the recipient has a responsibility, and the one that gives it also has a responsibility. With regard to the accounting authorities for the public entities, various boards are challenged with regard to Section 49 of the PFMA. For example, some of the boards, again, this year told us they don't have so many people on the board anymore. Somebody is acting, the other one is acting. There's only two left in some instances, there's one left, there's five left, and so on. Section 49 speaks about the fact that you have an authority. The board must, the board is sometimes also the accounting authority and so on. In the instance where a board, the board lifespan is not in the new process, the rule that is the authority. So we think in some instances we are telling what we got there. It also means that it seems like we're going to have to start talking about the makeup of boards, how boards are being put together, selection processes, and then the functioning of it. Because remember, Songdon kept on asking you. You pay people all of this money, but they don't seem to come to board meetings. All of that means there's a question around not to the extent of the public broadcaster, yes, of this with regard to Section 51, which is the public finance management, we also think that WAF needs to inculcate an understanding to the water board on their responsibility with regard to this. Because as I said earlier on, it does appear that in instances, water boards don't seem to appreciate the public finance management at that section in particular on how they are functioning. We've spoken about the issue last year and this year again, and I think we will reiterate that in receiving budgets and staff plans of the water board, again in this instance, because you are supposed to comply with Section 52 of the Public Finance Management Act. In saying that you need to do that. We think what you need to do, instead of asking or saying that the provision is not being complied with at our level, we should maybe then ask what to take upon themselves to have the responsibility in this instance, make sure that our own report could reflect on this. I think yesterday already we agreed that WAF will be working a week time for the current annual report strategic plan and others. And moving forward, we think that maybe would help when WAF appear before at the beginning of every year, when they deal with their strategic plan and budget, they might as well just set up a strategic plan and budget also visible also in that same session. So then we move together for the entire year at the same time. So we want to make that decision. With regard to the aspect of loans and guarantees, other commitments, again, I think we require whether they are sufficient, they are compliant quality of the report, the things that you are talking to describe as everything in make up of your annual report, maybe we can continue to have a conversation on some of the findings of it. But we think there are some improvements in it. The same principles that I decided the picture of the chairperson of the intervention in the annual report. With regards to the aspect of Section 78 that has come up quite a bit, again, yeah, we think that there are some remedies. Most remedies are located in Section 44 of the Minister of Finance and Access. But we think we maybe should go a little bit further. We think yesterday we asked some of the boards on their suggestions to amend the relevant act. We think we must extend that to everyone. What, in your view, should be the kind of amendment that needs to be brought about? So instead of us complaining about Section 78 next year again, what are the elements of Section 78 that we are talking about? And maybe here we need to pursue this problem with work with Tawaga. And maybe in a month's time, Canada steps are in taken to address this issue that seems to be dropping up all the time. We support the municipalities. We heard you on what you are saying. Also, thank you very much to all of you for including in your presentation the aspect of water quality and the issue of the infrastructure. However, on the issue of water quality and infrastructure, almost all of you have said that whilst we are doing quite a number of issues with regards to this, you've also said to us that there are some concerns. And maybe we should inform you that for American water, if I don't have the genetic program with me now, but the committee sent me a little bit in the couple of weeks. We are asking all those that are not complying with water quality and so on. We are asking all of them that are not complying to appear before the committee. The three who are in that category, then you will also get that thing, but we don't have the list now. We are going through the process of the listing of it. So all of us that are not complying, the committee is quite serious that they must address this issue. People are referring to it, we mustn't get into an ex-con kind of situation. We don't think that the concern is there, but we think that we need to stay on board and make sure that we continuously improve the situation here. Yes, most of you have said that they are aging infrastructure and so on, and yes, we think that it is a great thing to start addressing that aspect and maybe give us a program on how all of them are going to address it. On the tariff issue, again, we asked him that in this instance, we asked that the department later in the term do a presentation to us on pricing strategies. And some of the things that you have said, Carl, and I think others, yesterday today, have alluded to this aspect when they talk about tariffs, about pricing and all of that. And I think that maybe we hope that we can bring the conversation on this to somewhere when the submissions are being made on pricing strategy later in the term. We want to say to all the boards with regards to the tariff, yes, you are complying with the provision of Section 42 of the Ministry of Management Act, in that you are submitting your proposals on time. But the difficulty that we have is just the content of what we send to Parliament. What most of you do is you send us all the letters that you send to Parliament. Not necessarily the best helpful to Parliament, but it's fine to do it, and I think there's other, and what the Treasury is saying here, well, that's fine to do all of that. But want to ask them to change the format of section 42. Because section 42 says you must motivate in terms of three clauses why and how you have derived at the particular tariff proposal. All of you have said this yesterday and today, how you have arrived. So that which you have said here, not necessarily comes into the submission. So I think it's give us a difficulty that we do not get the submission in the form that it is supposed to. So the simple thing is just to go to section 42 and then compile the report in that kind of way. Of course, we have your correspondence between the crowd and the crowd, and the most important thing is they consistently the say them one set of increase. How you resolve it in the end, you can see that part, but there is the severity. With regards to the question of service, whether you think that we need to engage a little bit more on the challenges. Because the challenges of the backlog service delivery, innovation around that, and realizing that the primary objective is not the Department of Water Safety and Forestry only, you are part of the family of the Department of Water Safety and Forestry. And you think that maybe we should continue to have more engagement on how to all of us make sure that we realize the idea of justice that has been set there. On the surface, we hear you. But maybe we need to talk a little bit more with regards to that. We think that the conversation has started yesterday and today, and we think we must continue the conversation. All of you have given answers, but I think we are at the point where we now need to take a conversation a little bit further and say, as part of our planning, this is really the kind of thing that we would want to say. It was very interesting how all of you responded, because instead of saying, no, please, don't look it out, you almost said it like that. Well, it's not quite that we have the surface, but you know, it is there, but it's not really there where we can now start. We heard you, but we do think that we have reached the stage where we now need to say how do we take the call. You see, Mr. Manuel has been sitting in his budget. Now you see what the economy looks like now. Very interesting with surplus and budget, and the economy is showing the signs. We think we need to learn from that, because it's not good to remember that the surplus will take you to your budget. And then many other things that are sort of factor that's involved in time that is coming, the economy of understanding at all times. With regards to the problems that have emerged from the board over the day and a half, those, some of them are in terms of the establishment. I think that with regards to all of those issues that members have raised, and including the issue of the process that the process of the establishment has started, we would want to find out if it's all practical possible that we return back to the issue within 3 months of time, so that we don't deal with the issue come next time when we deal with the annual report. We think that the issue must be dislocated from the annual report, not as a standalone issue now, and deal with it in a manner. And that really a host of very many different things. So they are both whose goals have not been renewed, but some of them don't have sufficient board members around there. They are in that same category as I'm saying. There are also the proposals that were given yesterday by some of the smaller boards on how they saw what they could contribute also in this instance. And I think some of those suggestions have been taken on board. And it must be taken on board in how we discuss the entire institutional reform process of the water board. And we think that, you know, the longer we postpone that aspect, the more uncertainty the law comes. So I think we have put it together into that same discussion. On the debt ratio, we think that there are still a couple of challenges. And on the other aspect of the debt, I think the members have expressed themselves sufficiently with regards to that, and there is satisfaction that we don't seem to be moving on this area. they think that the invitation to what the member has can be issued. We should meet the department of local government also. Because in the final instance, we are not only talking about the local government, the municipality, we are part of the department of provincial and local government. We think that department to department, committee to committee, we should deal with those aspects of also the members that are being spoken by Chapter 6, the Municipal Finance and Act. And I think we should really take some time with it. Maybe in the proposal that we made, maybe we can answer maybe in a month's time, or we can do that. I'm saying in a month's time because Parliament will be between now and the end of June, and then they're going to say, and we're not quite sure if Parliament the other board that we talked about, but I think we have expressed to them what we said to them. We block, we will write to you about explaining to us about this and the other, what has happened there, because we are the taxpayers and the social identity information. We will communicate with the other two boards, and we will ask them to communicate also with us. They have been difficult with in Porcello and Mike. We think that we also owe a fund to the people that we will hopefully communicate to you on that aspect so that those who vote that is not the compliance. Can I request from again that we with regard to the issue that you raised on the design, yes, of course, the problem to the people they last year, we appreciate if you could ask this, we appreciate if you can give us the update on the design. The speaker has written to us to ask us what progress are being made. We can now report back to the speaker and hopefully what is happening after the work here today. So we'll request if you can give us that information so that we can get back to the people of the government. I finally want to say that, of course, there are a number of challenges that are solving. The challenges around service delivery, the challenges around water allocation reform, the challenges and water quality, infrastructure, agents, and tax policies. Those challenges, of course, applying to the portfolio committee like you normally do in making sure that you have many of the submissions and all of that. I think from our side we must apologize for the convenience to us. It's an African style and protocol, like what has been put into it. I'm not sure why I'm not apologizing for any case, because chairman can recommend the speaker of the time as well as apologize. For the fact that this is something that's very inconvenient for them. I believe some of you didn't have proper ones. We will still have all of these very problems that we are sitting with. They are not intentional, but nevertheless, thank you for your understanding and your patience of the industry. What? You're in the same category of. Thank you. So I think last year we had some recent exchanges, and we can say that thank you was here. It's been very nice to so no, I'm not saying so far. And over to the one.
The best thing I can say is thank you for your guidance throughout the 2 days, and of course I also want to convey our biggest thank you to the Water Board that supported the process. They had to appear before the committee we appreciate that they all turned up, except one or two that were not very prepared. But of course, we also took instructions. We will be passing them to the Director General, particularly around this establishment and the executive, as she indicated yesterday. She is looking at the recommendations before herself, and surely she will be taking decisions as the future.
Well, thank you very much. I thank
the
office if you can just make sure where there are issues that were raised after yesterday, today, that you have not answered, you can see as soon as possible, because we're compiling a report now. And given that the problems are really delivered on the day now that we have this on board. To all of you that are staying over in Cape Town, enjoy the winter that has started here. To those of you that are going back home, drive safely, and we trust to see you soon. Stronger will certainly be able to thank you for coming.
You see the way deployment committee organization is present as cutting, but also committee one. You are going to be the mayor of one municipality out there. I said, and you see a different. That's